This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif lam ra' tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Inna anzalnahu qur'anan arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أمين رب العالمين. I am really excited to share something very beautiful with you today, and I want to start by giving credit to a remarkable author, Brother Jawad Anwar Qureshi, who wrote a great paper on Surat Yusuf that helped me quite a bit. I mean, I had some understanding of the structure and the coherence of the surah. I had read something about it many years ago, authored by Professor Mustansir Mir, but his work, Jawad Anwar Qureshi's work, went way further, and it's very methodical, and I thought that it really should be incorporated into our series, but of course, having given him credit. In the description of this session, there's actually a link to a YouTube video by the author of that paper himself, so he can speak in his own words, and you can, inshallah, benefit from that. I personally have the document, the PDF file for his paper. I'm sure you can find it on Google. I'll ask my team if they can, you know, if I can get the author's permission, we can upload it somewhere and you guys can download it from there. If I had an option of putting a document up on Facebook, I would have, but I don't have that option. I couldn't at least figure it out. But let's get started and look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and the entire surah as a whole, and how it's one of the most incredible examples of the literary beauty of the Qur'an. So today's session, not only is it about learning something about the wisdom of the Qur'an, but really it's going to be more focused on how beautiful and how structured the speech of Allah is, and how it's just a marvel. So let's start with the overall structure of the surah. We already talked about it. The first three ayat are the introduction, and from 102 to 111 is the conclusion of the surah. So that's something you guys already have heard from me, and I've talked to you about that. Those portions are not really discussed in detail in Jawad's paper. It's the rest of it that he has talked about pretty amazingly. So now in the fourth to the sixth ayah, in the very beginning, you remember that a young boy tells his father the dream, right? That's where the story begins. So the dream has been shared. And if you turn to the very end, 99 to 101, it's when the dream is fulfilled. So the opening scene and the closing scene correspond to each other. They're both about the dream. What did it mean? Here's what it meant. And it's actually, interestingly, an exchange between father and son again. Because in the opening scene, the son was telling the father, this is the dream. And the father was giving him warnings. And now on the flip end, it's the son telling the father again, this is the interpretation. هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ. So it's really beautiful how that mirrors each other. Then you've got, from ayah number 7 to 18, you learn about the jealousy of his brothers. You learn about Yaqub's concern for their tendencies. You learn about the entire scene. They're conspiring with each other to get rid of Yusuf in some way. They finally come to the conclusion that they should drop him in a ditch somewhere, in a well somewhere, and maybe somebody will come and take him. Then they come back and tell the, you know, father an elaborate story about a wolf having eaten him. All of that is the family tension, and which all essentially led to the separation of the family. Now, on the flip side, working backwards from 58 to 98, you get family tension again. They come back in his life, right? And he sees them and he recognizes them, but they don't. And then now they're saying offensive things to his face. And now he's, you know, engage with them, and that entire engagement, which we will dig into a little deeper, leads to the opposite of what happened in the beginning. In the beginning, that tension led to a separation of the family, and this time that tension is going to lead to a reunification of the family. So those two things converge with each other also. And then you've got in the middle, Yusuf alayhi salam's time in Egypt. So when he was brought into a slave, all the way to the point where he was exonerated out of prison and turned into the Minister of Finance and given that lofty position. So that's an overall sort of symmetrical view of the story, and that's where we're starting. And that's just where we're starting. Now what we're going to do is, you notice the middle section, Yusuf in Egypt, I said here, it's a pretty large section, ayah number 19 all the way to 57. So think of it this way. You know how on your camera, you've got like the regular view and you've got like the 2x zoom in and then you've got the 3x zoom in. So we're going to do the 2x zoom in on the middle section on Yusuf in Egypt. Then we're going to do a 3x zoom in again on Yusuf in Egypt. So we're going to zoom in twice on that middle passage. Okay, so let's zoom in once. But just so you can appreciate, I drew lines. If not obvious enough for you, they're really pretty. I really like them. The introduction and the conclusion, then dream shared and dream fulfilled, family tension and separation, and family reunification. Now, we're zooming in on the middle part, just the middle part, the life of Yusuf in Egypt, okay? So he gets enslaved in Egypt from ayah number 19 to 21. That's where it begins. By the way, reminder, that's 19 to 57. So it's a pretty large section, right? So we're starting at 19. He gets enslaved in Egypt. Then he is in 22 to 35, he is tempted, and that eventually leads to his imprisonment. That entire scene, that episode. Then you've got, when he's in jail, he interprets dreams, and there's an exchange where he gives da'wah, right? So that's that entire dream. And then after that, he is exonerated, and then he's freed, meaning that he comes back, and then he's, you know, the problem is resolved in 50 and 51. And he is then made the treasurer of Egypt. That's the basic outline at a 2x zoom in of what happened in Egypt. Now notice here too, starts off being enslaved, ends up being the treasurer. So the lowest position to the highest position. He is tempted and imprisoned, and on the flip side, he is exonerated, proves his innocence against that temptation, and is also freed from prison. And in the middle, you've got the king and the dream interpretation. So you've got this like incredible order even within the middle. The whole surah has a structure, and the middle has its own structure. And now it's time to go even deeper inside Egypt because it's a large section. So we got to go, you know, step by step. So now, life in Egypt, a closer look. This is the 3x view. So we're really zoomed in on that 19 to 57 section of the surah. There were a lot of components here, so I wrote a little bit smaller. Hopefully you can keep up. 19 to 21 is enslavement. Then he resists temptation when the wife of the minister. Then he's assaulted by her when she rips his shirt. Then she's vindictive, so she put him on display in front of other women and they cut their hands. And this was part of the embarrassment to Yusuf, how powerless he is. Where's he going to run now? Right, so she put him on display as a demonstration of her power and the scene where the women cut their hands. And then, of course, she is adamant that he should get imprisoned. And then he interprets the dream of the inmates that he meets in prison. And in ayah number 42, the inmate who was freed forgets to do what Yusuf had asked. Right, so he asked for help and asked to go make mention of him, but he forgot to make mention of him. And finally, you get to, after all of that, the king sees a dream, that weird dream that he couldn't figure out, right? Now let's go forward. So now, again, the section is 19 to 57, but this is an outline of events from 19 all the way to 44. We still got to get from 45 to 57. So we got to conclude the whole thing. What happens next is the freed prisoner remembers. So you notice I said D7 here as a section. In D7, the inmate forgot, and now he is remembering. So forgetting and remembering are contrasted with each other. And then the dream of inmates was interpreted, and this time the dream of the king is interpreted by Yusuf alayhi salam. So D6 and D6 correspond, 46 to 49. And in D5, Yusuf was imprisoned, and moving forward, in ayah number 50, Yusuf alayhi salam is freed from jail. He was put on display as a show of humiliation when the women cut their hands, and now those same women are being brought to court and they have to declare that he was innocent and they're put on display. And he gets to question them and he puts them in a corner and they have to say, Hasha Lillah. So that resolution has now happened. Then he was assaulted by her when she ripped his shirt and she falsely accused him. And now she admits her wrong. The wife of the minister admits her wrong and is actually now coming to her senses. Then he had resisted his temptation in private. And remember, part of that was, my master has been good to me, right? Even though my master is not here right now, meaning the owner of the house, but Allah has always been good to me, right? Now, notice what he said, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. On the flip side, he says, I did this so he would know that I did not cheat him in the unseen. Right? So he's going back to that unseen scene where they were invisible from the world. And he says, even when nobody could see, I still didn't cheat him. So it's a you know, echoing of that scene yet again. And finally, of course, the opposite of enslavement, he is made the treasurer of Egypt. So as we zoom in, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 components leading to the king seeing a dream. And then you've got those same 7 components addressed or corresponded to in reverse order. So it's really incredible that that's just the middle of the surah. Now, let's look at the entire story. The entire story, you can be argue, is about 21 scenes. And I know this is rather small, so you know what I'm going to do? Can you go and like put it on full screen? Because I want everybody to see this entire screen. So let's now look at the entire story. Yeah, that last one. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so the whole story. You've got the introduction. Then you've got the dream. Then you've got the family separation. We already talked about that. Then we've got him turned into a slave. After that, he resists temptation in the minister's house. Then he is assaulted by the minister's wife. Then he's put on display and humiliated as the women cut their hands, which then leads to him being falsely imprisoned. And there he meets inmates whose dream he interprets. Then the inmate whose dream he interpreted got out of jail and forgot all about it. Then you see the king sees a dream. And when the king sees a dream, it triggers the memory of the inmate who forgot, and the inmate remembers. And after the inmate remembers, the king's dream gets interpreted because he comes back to jail and asks Yusuf alayhi salam. And then Yusuf alayhi salam is freed. And once he's freed, he's exonerated by those women, because they say he didn't do any wrong. And then she, in turn, finally speaks and says, no, I was the one who wronged him. And then he's exonerated before the Aziz when he says to the minister, I didn't wrong him in the unseen. And finally, he's also made, or close to finally, he's then made the treasurer. And the family gets reunited eventually in that long scene of family tension, right? And then the dream gets fulfilled, and you've got yourself the conclusion. Now notice. Introduction, conclusion, dream, and dream fulfilled. Family separation, family reunited. Slave, treasurer. Resisting temptation, exonerated. You know, proving that he was innocent. The assault, and then the apology from her, exonerated by her. Display, and then display before the women, exonerated by the women. Imprisoned, and then freed. Inmate's dream interpreted, the king's dream interpreted. The inmate forgot, and the inmate remembers. I mean, look at that. I was just making this, and I was like, that's beautiful. Not my PowerPoint, but like, that's really awesome. It's just an incredible structure. Now let's look further at some themes. And by the way, there's another two large sections which we're going to dig into after the themes, which is, you know, the family separation and the family reunion, because they're complicated, right? There's multiple things that were happening. So we're going to look at that a little closer too. But let's look at the contrasting themes. You've got the introduction and the conclusion. That's obvious. The story opens with separation and ends with reunion. You've got him moving into a low status and working backwards. He moves towards a high status. So Allah shows how trials are different from low status versus high status. You've got his temptation, and you've got the proof of his innocence. You can also call this slander and innocence, right? Then you've got the one who assaulted him is also the one who apologized to him. And then you've got him being displayed for humiliation, and then him restoring his honor publicly and exonerating himself. And then you've got prison and freedom. And finally, you've got the inmate forgetting, and then the inmate remembering. So even thematically, if you look at these terms, I know some of this you can't see clearly, but the bottom is forgetting and the bottom is conclusion there. So this is just a thematic architecture of the story and the elements that it presents. Now, so I just did that to look pretty, so I'm just going to do that because I'm so cool. Okay, now the prison scene. So, you know, when it was known, the minister knew, you can go back to the shared screen. So it was known that the minister knew that he didn't do wrong. But he figured, you know, let this scandal die down, let him go to prison for a time, for some time. And then the inmates, when they tell him their dream, they keep talking about how I see, you know, the wine, pouring wine, and I see that birds are eating from my head. And Yusuf alayhi salam uses the opportunity not just to interpret their dream, but before he would interpret the dream, he describes his faith and the legacy of his father Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ishaq and Yaqub and one God, and how can multiple gods be better than one. And so he takes this opportunity to describe his faith, and then he interprets their dream, and then Allah says he remained in prison for some years. So notice, imprisonment for some time and some years is at the opening and closing even of the prison scene. And then inmates telling their dream and getting their dream interpreted is the second, you know, ring on the outside. And then the center of that ring is Yusuf alayhi salam describing his faith. So it's pretty cool that at the heart of prison is his description of his faith. So it's interesting thematically and also spiritually that the most powerful da'wah passage in the whole surah is in the darkest place. Right, the passage that has the most light, if you will, is in the darkest place. So that's also a kind of an interesting thematic component. Now let's talk about the two elements, which are the separation of the family and the reunion of the family. Okay, so in the beginning, brothers had schemed for Yusuf in ayah number 7 to 10. Then the brothers plead with their father to take Yusuf. Right? Oh, he'll come and play and he'll eat and all that stuff. So remember how we zoomed in into Egypt three times? Now we're zooming in into the separation, the family drama in the opening, right? So they, you know, the brothers scheme, and then they plead with their dad to take Yusuf alayhi salam, and then the brothers abandon him in a pit, fi ghiyabat al-jub. Then they return to Yaqub alayhi salam, fake crying. We were running around and a wolf came and ate him. You guys know the story, 16 and 17. Then they bring their father a fake, you know, shirt with fake blood on it. And then finally, Yaqub alayhi salam, after seeing all of this nonsense, he says, sabrun jameel, right? He says, the only thing I can do is find beauty in patience, right? Now, that's the story of how the separation happened. Make sense? Right? Now let's go on the other side. How did the reunion happen? The first thing that happened was Yusuf alayhi salam made a scheme to keep his brother, right? Because he falsely accused him of, and with his knowledge, falsely accused him of having stolen a goblet, and then all of that transpired, right? Then the brothers plead to take Benjamin back. They want to take him back, and they say, he's got an old father, please show mercy on him, etc. And then the brothers lose Benjamin, even their pleading doesn't work. So they end up losing him. And then they return to Yaqub alayhi salam, crying truthfully, we tried to get him back, but he wouldn't let him go. And Yaqub alayhi salam says, sabrun jameel, all I can do is be patient. And then finally, when the drama transpires, they bring Yusuf alayhi salam's genuine shirt. That entire episode of how they got the shirt back. Now compare these. The opening and the opening of both the separation and the reunion is a scheme being made in regards to a brother, one being kept for safety, the other being kept to be ruined or to be abandoned. And then you've got the pleading. They had pled with the father to take Yusuf, and then they had pled with Yusuf to take Benjamin back, to beg him to take him. And it didn't work. The father failed to keep him, so they took Yusuf alayhi salam and they abandoned him. But they failed to, just like they failed with Yusuf alayhi salam, to get Binyamin, and Binyamin stayed back. Then you've got them coming to their father in the opening, crying about how they lost, you know, their brother Yusuf, and a wolf ate him. And on the flip side, they come to him saying that the Egyptian king kept him and he stole. What could we do? It wasn't up to us. How could we have known, etc., etc. But what's interesting, so far everything corresponds, right? But I colored it differently so you could see not everything corresponds. When you get to the end, on the separation side, you see the shirt, the fake shirt, you know, the shirt with the fake blood, and then you see him say sabrun jameel, right? But on the other end, on the reunion side, you've got the Yaqub alayhi salam saying, I'm going to be patient, sabrun jameel, and then comes the shirt. Which is incredible, because Allah is teaching us in the opening passage that when you are faced with dire news, then you must resort to sabr. So it's sabr before resolution. It's sabr, you know, so he's presented with a terrible calamity and he has to resort to sabr. And then Allah says, and when you show that kind of sabr, I will send you a resolution. So he's got, there's a shirt that is the cause of misery and he's going to have sabr. And then he has sabr and Allah says, I'll give you a shirt that will be the cause of joy. Right, so the last component is flipped between the two, highlighting this really beautiful contrast between the separation and the reunion. So you can see that all of these items are corresponding except the last two, they crisscross with each other. Right, so the study of the organization of the surah even helps in that regard. So that these are the few things that I wanted to share with you today. I know this didn't take long, but I just wanted to give you this recap. The paper is worth a read, and I think it's a really good research paper on just the study of nazm altogether. That's, you know, there's an emerging field of trying to discover the structure and the composition of surahs. I'm not entirely sold that every surah has to have some kind of a ring composition or symmetrical structure. There are different kinds of structures in the surah. I've talked about my view on how I engage in that process, how I look for those things inside of a surah, and what works I've benefited from that have already been done on it. And as I go, some of that work is original, and some of that work people have done some pretty amazing things, like, you know, Jawad Amr Qureshi here. May Allah reward him for it. So hopefully, inshallah, this will be of benefit to you. And it's something that's so beautiful to share, you know, with family and friends, because the people who make the claim that the Qur'an is disorganized, or the Qur'an has chaotic themes, or it's all over the place, or it's not as, you know, it's not a literary marvel, and, you know, some people are more impressed with the biblical narration of the same story. Well, maybe they haven't looked at the literary components closely enough, and these kinds of papers can highlight that even for an English-speaking audience. So you don't even have to have the Arabic background to be able to do that. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, I'll conclude today's session. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. There's one more session on the structure of the surah or the coherence of the surah that I'll, it's a brief discussion, but I didn't want to mix it in with this. We'll have that one tomorrow, and then we'll get to the seerah. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.